You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I would like to teach tonight about not fearing. Do not fear. And we will start in Joshua. Woohoo! Someone's excited on the front row. Thank you. It's my family. This is all so good. I love the word. In Joshua, this is Joshua's taking over, and he's going to lead the children of Israel, you know, over to the promised land. And God's telling Joshua all these things. If you'll do this, this is going to happen. But in verse 5 is where we'll start. He says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." You know, that right there, you can take comfort in that scripture, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us always. "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." And he tells him, be strong, be very courageous. He tells him that a couple times. And then in verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you? Have I not told you already?" I've already told you like 25 times. "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." There is no reason for us to be afraid. There's no reason for us to fear. We shouldn't worry about our finances. We shouldn't worry about our finances. We shouldn't worry about our job. We shouldn't worry about sickness or healing, about being sick or getting healed. We shouldn't have to worry about that. And we shouldn't live in fear of of someone robbing your house or having a wreck. God is with us. He said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. I am with you. I'm with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, there God is. He's right there with you." Turn to Isaiah 41. We're going to turn a lot of places. I like to turn to a lot of places. And I want y'all to turn there too, so you know I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making this stuff up. It's really in here. In Isaiah 41:10, this is a scripture that is real common, you know, that we a lot of people will confess. I confess this scripture every day, but it's a real good one to quote about if you have problems dealing with fear. "Fear not, for I am with you." This is God. This is not me saying this. I'm not going to be with you everywhere you go. Sorry. "And fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." That word strengthen is the same word as courage in Joshua 1 that we just read in those four verses. It's the same word. He is going to encourage us. God's here to strengthen us. "I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God's upholding us with his righteous right hand. He's with us. We have no reason to be afraid. In the Amplified, he says, "I will harden you to difficulties." I love that. Where he's going to harden us to difficulties. That it's just kind of just rolls off our back. It doesn't. We're not moved. We're not swayed by circumstances. Am I ringing a little bit? I sound loud to me. Am I loud to you guys? Okay. I don't want to be blaring. But I will harden you to difficulty. That's so good. And then he goes on in verse 11. "Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish." They're going to be ashamed. Anyone that's against you is going to be ashamed. Because you're doing good. And in Titus 2 verse 8, I think, it's back. If you back up, is where it starts in verse 6 and then 7 and 8. But it talks about you need to be an example to believers. To talk right, and that's the main thing is hit home to them is that you need your conduct, your words that you say, your conversation should be of good conduct, so that anyone that's against you will be ashamed, not having anything to say about you. Because you need to act and talk like you're a child of God, so that the people who don't like you, because there will be people that don't like you, I'm sorry, people are going to talk about you. They're going to talk about you when you're doing good. They're going to talk about you when you're doing bad. And so you might as well just be doing good anyway. But the people that are going to talk bad about you should be ashamed of themselves for talking bad about you, because you're living righteously and you're living holy. And that's what he's saying. These people, don't worry about them. In Isaiah 51, verse 7, it says, don't worry about the insults of the people. Who cares? Who cares? That's That's my motto. Who cares? They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. He's right there beside us, holding our right hand, saying, oh, don't you worry. I'm going to help you. Don't you? Why are you fretting over this? Why are you worried about this? I'm going to help you. I'm working all this out. I'm right here with you. Think about that. God, your Father, the man or the one who made heaven and earth, is right there with you wherever you go. And so why are you afraid? Why are we worried about it? Turn Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31, sorry. I will get better about telling which chapter. There's a lot of chapters in Deuteronomy. We're going to chapter 31, though. This is a good verse, too. I'm not going to read you any bad verses, just so you know. I just get excited every time. Oh, man, this is a good verse, too. In verse 6, this is before Joshua. This is Moses appointing Joshua and saying, God's told me I'm not going to go over there with you guys. And he's getting them ready. He's getting the people ready. And he's talking to the people, telling them, hey, you've got these enemies that are coming. But don't worry about them. And he says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, these evil people. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Always there. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with his people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. God is going before us. He's taking care of it. In 2 Chronicles 20, whenever Jehoshaphat, some of my favorite stories, but with Jehoshaphat, he's king, and all these armies come up against him. And it's a lot. A lot of armies come up against him. And he seeks the Lord. And God told him, he says, don't you worry about this battle, for you're not going to fight in this battle. This is not yours. This is mine. And you know what happens. They get up there, and they send out the praisers first. We always praise. You know, when we get up here, praise first. You should, when he tells us in Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious and careful, fretful, whatever word you want to use. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then, after this, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. But if we go to God with thanksgiving first, if you're praising him first, praising him because you know that there's a victory on the other side of this battle. If you praise him first, then, and this is what happened in 2 Chronicles, he set ambushes up. As soon as they started praising God, he set ambushes up against the enemies, and they all killed each other, and not a single one survived. And no one on God's side had a fight. They didn't have to fight a one because they killed each other. And that's what God's doing for you. He's going before you. He's taking care of it. My mom asked me to share. We had a God's Gals weekend of refreshing, and it was really good. But I got to share this story, and I'm sorry if you heard it, and I shared it in class, but it's a good story, so you get to hear it again if you heard it. But there's a guy, he's a pastor, Dino Rizzo, and he's a pastor in Louisiana. And he was talking about, of course, being from Louisiana, he is for the Saints. The football team, in case you don't know, I love football, and I was not for the Saints. So I was happy at the end, the fourth quarter, whenever, this is what he's talking about. He said, the beginning of the fourth quarter, Peyton Manning, who's a quarterback for the Colts, gets the football, and he's like, oh, man, he starts worrying about it. He gets in fear, and he's worried that they're going to lose because, you know, Peyton Manning, he's a fourth quarter quarterback. He always comes back. If you know his record, he's known for coming back in the fourth quarter and winning. And he's just all worried about it, and he's just like, he's fretting, and his so fun. He's very animated, and I will try and do it justice. I don't know if I can, but he said his wife's name is Delin. He said they had a bunch of people at their house, and so when it happened, she's just like start praying in tongues, just nonstop, just just real fast. And the daughter says, you can't pray that, and she's going, Lord, help them win, and she's being silly, going, help them in their little outfits, and they're going to be good, and they're going to win this game. And his daughter says, Mom, you can't pray that they're winning. What if somebody on the other team is praying. She goes, well, I have more faith in them. They're going to win in the name of Jesus. And he said he had to go outside and watch TV on this little screen because he was just... He was sweating. He goes, man, I was sweating bullets. I couldn't stay in there with everybody because I was stressing out because I just knew that Peyton was going to win the game. And he was for the Saints. And he says, but then it ends up that the Saints win. And they're all excited, hooping and hollering. And apparently DeLynn did have more faith than I did. But anyway, then he says, wouldn't it be ridiculous if about 11 o'clock at night they replay this game and I go over to my friend's house and I say, hey, man, they're replaying the game. Let's watch it. You want to watch it? And they're like, oh, yeah, let's watch the game. And they sit there and they watch the game. When it gets down to the fourth quarter and Peyton gets the football again, and he starts tripping out again, going, oh, man, Peyton's got the ball. I can't believe it's going to happen. He's going to win the game. And he starts getting up, just, you know, pacing back and forth. His friends would think he was an idiot because he knows what happens. He knows the outcome of the game. He said, that's what the Word does. That's what Jesus did. He has already won the football game for us. We know the outcome of this game. I should not have to worry about what's going on. I don't have to worry. I don't necessarily know the play-by-play, but I know that I have a victory at the end of this thing. And so in the middle of the victory, in the middle of the battle, I don't need to be stressing out. I don't need to be worried. I shouldn't be sweating bullets. God is going to think, are you crazy? You know what's happened. I have gone before you. You don't need to fear. I've already won this battle for you. You're just along for the ride. You're here to enjoy the blessings. You're here to enjoy the promises. And at the end, you get the victory. Because I've already won this for you. You don't have to worry about it. So why are we in fear? Why are we worried? Why are we so concerned about how are we going to pay our bills? We shouldn't have to worry. We just trust God. You know, smack dab in the middle of Joshua 1, where he tells us, do not fear, be courageous. And then again, he tells us in the middle of that sandwich in between it is, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And for then, if you'll do it and deserve to do it according to all that's written in it, for then you'll make great progress and then you'll have good success. If we've held on to His Word, if we've done His Word, if we've meditated on His Word, if we'll obey His commandments, we've done what He said, He's going to take care of us, just like Chris shared, because He tithed and He gave and He was a step of faith. And life is a step of faith. Every battle that you face is going to be a battle of faith. But it's a battle that we're going to win. And He tells us in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, that you fight the good fight of faith, and it's a good fight because we win. We're winning. If you're fighting a fight of faith, if you're in faith over it, you're going to win. So He goes before us. He takes care of us. I have another story. A lot of stories. And I'm just going to cram all into this one little section because of more scripture. We watch Biggest Loser, and it is not the Biggest Loser. It's whoever loses the most weight. You know, they have a competition to lose the most weight over a season. And last week's episode, they did a marathon, and they actually came to Dallas and did it. And there's a bunch of contestants on there, and they had a bunch of people from the Dallas area that had won the opportunity to do this 5K with the contestants on Biggest Loser. And one of the ladies was like, well, what if I'm just slow and I can't do it? And when the contestants told her, he said, I'm going to finish the race and I'm going to come back for you. And he did. He ran the marathon and he came back for her. He went before her and he took care of it. He did it. And it was an example to her that, hey, if I can do this, you can do this too. And that's what Jesus has done. He's already gone before us. He's already done the marathon and He's come back for us and He's walking with us and He's holding our right hand and He's saying, look, I'm going to be right there beside you, holding your hand, telling you, I'm going to help you. You're not alone. That's the joy of this. We're not alone in this thing. So why are you afraid? We should not be afraid. In John 16:33, He says that in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's already overcome it for us. And in the Amplified it says, I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. He's already conquered this for us. He's already gone through everything that you think that you could go through. He's already gone through it. And He came out a victor. And turn to Isaiah 51. But if He can do it, you can do it. Isaiah 51. I'll read you in verse 7 where He says, listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. Don't be afraid of their insults. Just none of these things move me. Acts 20:24. I'm not moved by that. In verse 12, he says, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of the son of a man who will be made like grass? Why do you care what people think about you? Why do you care what people are saying? Oh, you're afraid of a man who's going to die, and yet you forget the Lord your Maker, is what he goes on to say. And you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor when he is prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? It's gone. That's what my Bible says, because that's what I wrote in there. It's gone. The fury of the oppressor is gone. The devil wants you to forget the Lord. He said in verse 13, you forget the Lord your Maker. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to forget who God is, and he wants you to forget who you are, because if you know who you are a threat to him, and he cannot do anything. In Colossians 2, don't turn there because I'm not done. In Colossians 2, verse 14, it talks about righteousness. We just got done doing a decade-long series on righteousness in my classes. I've never taught that long on one subject, but it was good. I thought it was good. Everyone in my class, amen. Yes. But we just got done teaching on this. And in chapter 2 in Colossians, he's talking about righteousness and how the law was not something that we could do. It wasn't something that we could keep. And in verse 14, he says that, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, that is the law was against us, which was contrary to us. The law was contrary to us. We could not do it. It was against us. Having wiped it out, just talking about Jesus, just so you know, having wiped out the handwriting requirement which was against us, which was contrary to us, and having taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. That's what he did. He took that law, took it out of the way, redeemed us. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law was a curse. The law is a curse. So you don't have to go back under the law anymore. We've been redeemed from the law. Praise God. We've been redeemed from it. And he says, he wiped it out. That handwriting of requirement that was against us, he wiped it out and nailed it to the cross. And that's where it stays, and that's where it needs to stay. And we don't go back and try and get it again. And then in verse 15, he says, having disarmed the principalities and powers, and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And in the message, he said he stripped the tyrants of this world, of this universe, of their sham authority, and marched them naked through the streets. That's what Jesus did. He has stripped the enemy of his weapons. He has disarmed him. That's what the Bible says. He has disarmed Satan. He doesn't have any weapons. He has nothing to fight us with except deceit. And he's going to deceive you into thinking that you can't pay your bills. He's going to deceive you into thinking that you don't have to live righteously, or you don't have to live a healthy life. He's going to deceive you into thinking that you're not an overcomer. He only has deception. He has nothing, because Jesus disarmed him. He stripped him of his sham authority. He doesn't have any authority. And the devil wants you to forget who you are. He wants you to forget that he's been disarmed. He wants you to forget that all he has is deception. But that's all he has. All he's going to do is just lie to you. He's just going to lie to you until you can't make it. He's going to lie to you and tell you that, you know, Dad, John Osteen used to say this, and Dad will say this too, that you quit talking to God about how big the mountain is and start talking to the mountain about how big your God is. Stop talking to that mountain. And if you start talking to the mountain, you'll realize that mountain is not a mountain anymore. It's just this little bitty thing, a little bump. Because we get so focused on the problem, we get so focused on the things that the devil wants us to focus in on, that we forget who God is, and we forget how big he is, and we forget that he is the Lord our Maker. He's our Maker. But we need to remind ourselves of who God is. Remind ourselves that he has delivered us time and time again, and that he has gone before us. He has fought this battle, and he has won this battle. And because of it, we are conquerors. We are more than conquerors, and we are overcomers. And then verse 14, it says, the captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. But I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name, and I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. We are his people. I am his daughter. I am his child. And he's going to take care of me. I do the best that I can to take care of Mikhail. We take care of her. We bathe her. We cook for her. We do all these things. And it's because I love her. I love her, love her, love her, love her, love her. And I love Adeline just as much, too. But I love them. How much more God, our Heavenly Father, who has infinite riches and love and compassion, how much more He's going to take care of us. We are His. I want to say to Zion, you are my people. We are His people. And so, therefore, we have no reason to fear. Mikkel, middle of the night last night, she fell off her bed, and she comes downstairs because who's going to take care of her? Mommy and Daddy. She didn't go outside to the dog. You know, she didn't go across the street to the neighbor. She didn't go anywhere else. She came to her mom and daddy because we're going to take care of her. And we did. We let her sleep with us the rest of the night. But that's we need to know that God is who we go to. He's going to take care of us. He is who is going to take care of us. He's our father. He is our daddy. You know, just think about that. You go to your daddy, or your children come to you. How much more your relationship with God? How much more God take care of you and care for you and take care of this battle, fight this battle for you? He's already done it. He disarmed the enemy. He's got nothing. He's just this. I mean, like it said, he's this naked little spirit, this naked devil. He's got nothing to fight you with. Turn to Isaiah 43. Flip back there. I have no idea what time I got on. Does anybody know? No? Oh, I'll talk really fast. Isaiah 43, in verse 1, he says, "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." He has redeemed us. In Isaiah 41, in the Message, where he talks about being our Redeemer, I believe it's verse 16. I could be making that up. But he says, in the Message, he says, the God who buys you back, he bought us back already. He's already paid a price for us. He's already done his part. And we're the ones that are responsible now. We're the ones that have to do something. We need to trust in him. So I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Just like he said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. You're going to go through fires. You're going to go through waters, but you have no reason to be afraid because he has redeemed us. He's our Father, the God who made heaven and earth. That's my daddy. And your daddy too. Verse 3, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia," and I was going to ask how you pronounce this, Seba or Seba. No one knows. I'll say however I want. "Seba, in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you." We have no reason to be afraid. "Fear not, for I am with you. I've gone before you. I'm right there holding your hand. I'm taking care of you." Turn real quick to Malachi 3. We know this scripture. We say this for tithes and offerings. But this is just another example of how he's taking care of the enemy for us. And while you're turning, I'm going to tell you another story. This is in the Bible. So this was really good. In 2 Chronicles 14, it talks about King Asa. King Asa was a good king after a whole lot of bad kings. And he comes in and he starts cleaning house, basically. He gets in there and he gets rid of all the idols, the foreign gods or whatever. And he loves God. He worships God. And he praises God because he's given him years of peace because they've been obedient to him. Because he had favor with God. God was so happy that he'd gone in there and cleaned out all these idols. And he gave him peace, years of peace. Well, when an army came up against him, and King Asa had 300,000 men in the army. And I can't remember the enemy, but they had 1 million people. And plus 3,000 chariots, which I'm assuming is, you know, an ordeal because they put it in the Bible. So chariots must have been, be scared now. But King Asa goes and he prays to God. He says, This is one of the verses I quote every day. 2 Chronicles 14:11. Lord, it is nothing for you to help. And Lord, this is nothing. This is nothing for you to take care of. And he says, you're not impressed by numbers. You know, by few or by many. Lord, it is nothing for you to help. And the message, he says, God, are you going to let mere mortals stand up against you? No, I don't think so. Mere mortals, men that will die like the grass. Hey, why are you afraid of them? Why are you being offended by their insults? Doesn't matter. None of these things move me. I'm not moved by that. God is taking care of me. Okay. Found Malachi. He says in verse 11, this promise is not for you unless you have tithed and you have given. You have to do part A to get part B. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. If we will tithe, if we'll do the things that God told us to, just like it said in Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of law depart from your mouth, and then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. That is, we're the ones that make ourselves prosperous. We're the ones that makes ourselves successful because we've done God's word. If we'll tithe and we'll give, then he's going to rebuke the devourer. Look, God, I've done my part, just like Chris did. He's like, look, God, I tithed. I did what I was supposed to do. And what did God do? Immediately. He came, provided hours for him. That's what he needed. And you should work. People should work. It's in the Bible. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the fields, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I have taken care of the enemy. If you'll just tithe, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just keep walking, I'm going to keep pulling your hand, I'm going to help you out, and I'm going to rebuke the devourer. It's kind of like football again. I love football. It's the only sport I like. But you know what happens to a guy with the ball? You know, he's running. He shouldn't have to worry about the guys that are coming at him. And there are some guys, and they're big, and they're coming at him. And they will knock him down, and they will hurt him. But he shouldn't have to worry about him because he's got all his linemen that are going to protect him. Just like the quarterback. The quarterback is gold on the football team. You don't want your quarterback getting hurt. And so he has all these big guys that protect him, too. You don't want him to get sacked. But that's what God's doing for us. We're the ones, we've got the football, and we're just running down the road, we're running down the football field, and we should only have our eyes on that goal. I'm not going to look to my left, just like he said, he tells us this in Joshua, don't look to the left or to the right, but you keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't you worry about what's coming. There's going to be some stuff coming, but I'm going to take care of it for you. And here he is, this big football player. God's just knocking him over as we're going. And we should just keep on trucking, just keep on going, not even worried about what's going on, because God is taking care of us. He's our bodyguard. He's redeemed us. He's protecting us, and he's taking care of the enemy. These guys, in essence, they're scrawny. They're like me. They're scrawny little women out there running at you because they've been disarmed. They have no muscles. They've got nothing. They're just lying to you. That's not like me. But we have no reason to be afraid because God, he's gone before us. He's taken care of the enemy for us already, and he's right there beside us, holding our hand, telling us he's going to help us. So, go in peace.